The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Host of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good, and Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I am so excited to be with you tonight. Happy New Year once again to everybody. God is good all the time. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what your situation is, God is not and has never been your problem. He is your answer, and He will help you. He will strengthen you. He will see you through to victory if you'll do one thing, and that is trust Him. And that's what Spirit of Faith Talk Radio is all about, to feed your faith and starve your doubts, to show you the way out, to give you the word in due season that will strengthen your spirit. It will renew your mind. It will starve your doubts. It will help you through to victory and help you shut the devil up and put him in his place. God is good all the time, and He is on your side. So take a moment right now and share this link with your friends and family so that they can also tune in and be encouraged tonight. I'm expecting a tremendous show tonight. We're going to get into the blessing of the Lord. God's blessing is upon His people. His glory is in all the earth, and God has blessed His people. His will is for us to be blessed. His will is for us to be empowered. His will is for us to overcome. And even though it's God's will, it doesn't mean it's going to automatically happen. It must be received by faith. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to get into the Word of God. We're going to receive His Word, and we're going to walk by faith and not by sight and overcome every situation so we can live in the power of His might. He is good all the time. Praise God. Amen. I'd love to have you get on board with me. If you have a Bible question, if you have a praise report, testimony, if you want to talk live with me, all you got to do right now is email us instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. And you can also, if you'd like to get on board live with me, just email anybody. If you're a minister and you want to come on and just share the word a little bit with me, I'd love to have you call. by simply emailing instudio101@gmail.com. And our wonderful, blessed producer, Gary, will send you back a link and he will get you on live with us. He is a co-host on this and he'll get you live through Zoom. All you got to do is email us instudio101@gmail.com. Once again, that's instudio101@gmail.com. Before we pray, let's give a quick shout out to our wonderful folks that have joined us on Facebook Live. If you ever want to see me, you can go to Facebook. You do not have to have a Facebook account. Simply go to Facebook and you can find us there under Spirit of Faith Radio. Good evening to Susanna, Rainey, Margaret, Todd, my beautiful, wonderful, gloriously blessed mother, Judy, Susan, Andrew, Denise, Ron, Adeline. I love you all. Minister Ulette, my sister, Kate. Glory. Praise God. I think I said Denise and Ron. Brother Compton, Sister Thelma. Bless you, brother. My mother-in-law, Mary, beautiful, wonderful, gloriously blessed mother, Mary, praise the Lord, Joan, and everybody else joining us. Once again, take a moment, give me a like, give me a share on Facebook. If you're listening on realityradio101.com, just grab that link in your text, in WhatsApp, in Messenger, however you communicate with your friends, send it out so that they can get on board and be blessed as well. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray and get right into the word tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory and honor that is due to your name. We bless you and we praise you. You are wonderful. You are beautiful. You are perfect and awesome in all of your ways and how we love you. Our hearts love you. Our souls love you. You are so magnificent. We love you tonight, Father, and Jesus and Holy Spirit. And so we look to you to bless your people. We pray, Father, for a word in due season that the anointing, which has no limitations, would travel through these airwaves and on Facebook and bless your people. Let yokes be destroyed, burdens be renewed. Removed. Think through my mind, speak through my lips, say what you want to say, and we covenant with you, and we are quick to give you and you alone all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go to our foundation text before we get into the word tonight, which is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. Praise God. And it reads, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe. Why? Because we have the same spirit of faith, and therefore speak. How many times, Gary, are we tempted to just say what we feel?
All the time.
And what about say what we see?
All the time.
Now, see, I'm not tempted all the time.
Yeah.
I'm tempted at times, and maybe that's what you meant, not like constant.
Well, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Right, because you see things that you don't like, things that don't make you feel good, they're contrary. And the temptation is to call those things that you see the way they are, as they are. But faith does something totally different. Do you know where I'm going with this, Gary?
Yes, I believe I do know where you're going with that.
3 years I've been preaching to you. Romans chapter 4, is it verse 16? He says, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. And that's how faith works. And sometimes people say, well, they'll say, you know, you're lying if you say something that's not true. Well, now, wait a minute. What's the definition of truth?
That's a good question.
John 17, 17. Everybody say that with me. John 17, 17.
John 17, 17.
That's a scripture everyone should memorize. And it says this, Jesus is speaking and he said, sanctify them. That means set them apart by thy word. Excuse me, by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So what's the definition of truth?
The word of God?
The word of God, which is another five-letter word, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. The Bible is the word of God, which is the truth. So if you see something, is it the truth? Or what else might it be?
Fiction, not real.
Well,
a lie.
Okay,
a lie.
I like what you're going. Yes, absolutely. But another way we could call it is it's a fact.
Okay.
So if you get blood drawn for your cholesterol and you find out your cholesterol is high, is that the truth or is that a fact?
that would be
there's only
a fact.
One truth.
A fact.
That'd be a fact.
That fact.
There's only one truth, and truth is absolute. That's another thing that people have a problem with. People say that truth is not absolute. No, that is absolutely not true. Because the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and all things that were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E is the Word of God. And Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The truth, who is Jesus, who is the Word of God, never changes, always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So the facts will change. And our foundation text, let's go back there right now, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians, go there with your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, saints, get your Bibles out, man. You need to, don't trust me. Never, Bishop Butler, my pastor, my spiritual father, always taught me, never believe the words of a preacher. And people laugh when I say that. But the rest of it is that if he or she cannot show you in the Word of God, you're under no obligation to receive it. And part of the biggest problem in the body of Christ is that there is false teaching. There is heresy. There is erroneous teaching. And people just buy it hook, line, and sinker because the person has a title behind their name, pastor, prophet, apostle. Man, titles don't mean jack. What will stand in the day of testing and trial, in the day of judgment, is not what preacher so-and-so said. What's going to stand in that day is your faith in God, which only comes from the B-I-B-L-E, from the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore speak. Now drop down to verse 18. Verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen. And this is, Gary, where Christians mess up. They look at what they see, and then how do they respond many times, Gary?
Well, they believe it.
They believe it. And yeah. So they believe what they see, and now what are they acting in? Because the usually what we see is contrary to what we want. So how are you acting? Let's say you go to the doctor, and they do a biopsy, and it comes back as cancer. They see cancer. So how do most people respond to cancer? What rises up in them?
Fear, panic.
Fear, yeah. Fear. And that's not faith. And that's why Isaiah 53, he says, whose report will you believe? And if you believe the report of what you see, you're believing a fear report. And a fear report will produce fear. My pastor, man, Bishop Butler is teaching an awesome message right now on the blessing. And today he was talking about receiving from God and how faith has five elements. I told you about this book. I think it was last week, Gary, or the week before, maybe both weeks. And the book is called The Five Elements of Faith. And remember, I went online and I told them they can get it. You can go to wordoffaith.cc/e-store, wordoffaith.cc/e-store. And the book is called The Five Elements of Faith. And it works by this. Faith comes by hearing. And then faith comes by receiving, believing, speaking, and acting. These are the five elements of faith. Faith comes by hearing, believing, receiving, speaking, and acting. Well, fear works the same way. When you get that bad report, you heard fear, and then you believed the bad report, and then you received the bad report, cancer, whatever it might be, and then you spoke, I've got cancer, the bad report, and then you acted on that fear. And so there's five elements to fear, just like there's five elements to faith. And you can resist the blessing. You can resist the promise in God's word by responding in fear and not responding in faith, because you're not going to receive jack from God without faith. It takes faith to receive from God. And even let's say God in his mercy blesses you with a miracle. Somebody else is praying for you and you get a miracle and you get healed. You have to maintain that healing. You say, what? God's an Indian giver? No, he's not an Indian giver. But what Satan will do is, Mark chapter 4 tells us that Satan will come immediately to steal the word that was sown in your heart. So someone prayed for you, the word was sown, you got healed, it manifested in your body. Satan's coming to steal it. He's going to say, oh no. And that's exactly what happened in Mark chapter 4 regarding Peter. And Peter was in the boat, and the waves became boisterous, and they were all afraid, and they said they were going to die. And then they woke Jesus up, who's sound asleep, and they said, don't you care that we are dying? And Jesus woke himself up, got up, went up to the top of the boat, and he didn't start bailing out water. He didn't start looking for a leak in the boat. No, he didn't do none of that. He recognized that Satan was coming after the word. What was the word that was spoken? Well, Jesus had preached all day on the sower sows the word, and now he told the disciples, let us go to the other side. So the word's already been spoken. We're going to the other side. What does Satan come to do? Satan comes to steal that word, to stop them from going to the other side. Well, Satan can't stop them. He can't do it. He doesn't have the power to do it. But what he can do is he can cause a storm to come into your life. We find that word in James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you find yourself in different temptations. The word temptation there is the Greek word parasmos. Parasmos means a trial of any kind. Well, who's the author of trials? John 10, verse 10. Jesus said the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. What's he after? He's after the word of God that was sown. What was the word of God given to the disciples? Let us go to the other side. And then the winds rise up. And actually, the scripture says they saw the wind. Well, they didn't see the wind because the wind is invisible. What they saw is the results of the wind, which was all these waves that were coming into the boat, beating on the boat, causing water to come into the boat. And the boat was full of water. Now, if the boat is full of water, Gary, if I take a glass, even if it's a plastic cup, and I fill that cup up with water and put it in the lake, what's going to happen to that cup?
It's going to sink.
It's going to sink. The boat was full of water. If you take a boat and fill it with water, what's it going to do?
It's going to sink.
They didn't have boats like we have today.
Yeah.
Their boats were wood. So if water got inside there, the water is going to cause that wood boat to sink. The only thing holding it up is the air that's on the inside of it. And so it wasn't the boat that was keeping it from sinking. Why didn't that boat sink? Have you ever thought about that?
It didn't sink because Jesus was there.
Because Jesus was on board.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that you and I need to recognize. If you have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he's on board.
That's right.
I don't care what you go through. I don't care if the diagnosis is cancer. I don't care if it's a divorce. I don't care the attacks on your mind. I don't care what it looks like. If Jesus is on board, then the word that he has spoken is going to come to pass. The boat didn't sink because Jesus said, let's go to the other side, which means no matter what Satan tries, what did the old wolf do? Remember the old big bad wolf? He said, I'm going to huff
and puff and blow
and
your
I'm
house
gonna
down.
Puff and I'm going to blow your house down. Satan don't have the power. He's been stripped of it. Colossians chapter 1 says that Jesus spoiled principalities and powers and made an open show of him, triumphing over him. He's been stripped of all his power. And then the Bible says that you and I have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son, which means what? Which means that you can see how God's word works in every situation, because we have been translated. We have been translated into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not talking about the planet heaven. The kingdom of God is talking about God's operating system, how God works. How is it, Gary, that the sun doesn't fall into the to the earth and burn all of us alive?
It has to do with gravity and stuff.
How is it that gravity causes the sun to stay in its place,
its orbit,
in its orbit?
Well, that's the way God made it.
Yeah. It's a great answer. Here's the scripture. He says that God upholds all things by the word of his power. Not the power of his word, the word of his power. God created and spoke everything by the word. The word is what causes life. The word is what causes everything according to God's promises in his word is according to his word. And that's why, you know, baby Christians, they think that they can beg and cry and plead and call 15,000 prayer lines and get everybody to pray. And there's more power in multitude. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that each one of us, if we will have faith, one individual have faith. Now, I'm not discounting the prayer of agreement or corporate prayer. There's a place for all of that. I'm talking about receiving from God. You don't need 15,000 people to pray for you. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you would say to the mountain, what's the mountain? Cancer, depression, heaviness, debt, whatever it might be, whatever is under the curse of the law, which is found in Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning, I think, with verse 15. The curse of the law. He said, if you will speak to that mountain, all you need is faith the size of a mustard seed. Brother R.W. Shambach, he's in heaven now. He used to say, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God, because faith is the answer to receiving everything from God. And the opposite of how Satan operates to steal is fear. And fear works the same way as faith. I really encourage you to get a hold of Bishop Butler's book on the five elements of faith. It's probably the best and most powerful book he's ever written. And he's written dozens and dozens and dozens of books. But this one is the key to receiving everything from God. And when you understand how faith works and you understand that it has nothing to do with how you feel, it has nothing to do with a lot of the things that we think faith has to do with. Now you're going to enter into a place of simply receiving from God, and you can live your whole life receiving from God. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. There are times, man, that you got to use every fiber of your strength to stand in faith. But God gives you the grace to do it. God gives you the strength to do it. God gives you the ability to overcome whatever the obstacle is. And it gets easier because your faith develops. Faith grows. Faith increases. You can even, you know, the Bible tells us in James chapter 4 that God giveth more grace. Well, he gives more grace to who? To the humble. Well, if he gives more grace, then there are degrees of grace. You can grow in grace. You can have more grace. Well, if you can have more grace, then you have to be able to have more faith, because you can't receive grace without faith. Ephesians 2:8 says that we are saved by grace through faith. Faith is the conduit to receive grace. And without faith, you can't receive grace. Grace is there. It's unmerited. It's a free gift. It belongs to us. God wants us to have grace. And I really think another word for grace is blessing. Blessing is the anointing of God. It's the grace of God. It's a blessing. Praise God. It's an empowerment to prosper, which is actually what one of the Hebrew words, I have it in my notes tonight, but I'm just kind of flowing right now. That's what one of the Hebrew words, definitions for grace is empowerment. God has empowered us to prosper, empowered us to increase, empowered us to do his will. And then he gets all the glory for it because it's his empowerment. His empowerment is the blessing. His empowerment is the grace of God. And it's a free gift. It's unmerited. You can't do anything to deserve it, but you do have to do something to receive it. And it's called faith. Shandai. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let me get to my notes here a little bit tonight. I'm going to peek at your emails, and let's do those a little bit early tonight and see if someone wants to take us in a different direction. Bless the Lord. Let's see. Email me right now. I got very few emails so far, Gary. That's unusual.
Yeah, lots of listeners, though.
Yeah. Oh, praise God. I guess I'm preaching. Sometimes people have said, I don't want to write to you because I don't want you to stop preaching.
That's
a compliment.
Yep.
Email me instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Walt writes us tonight and says, hello, Pastor. This is horrible up here in Canada that the government and healthcare system is giving folks an option to use assisted suicide instead of treatment just to save money. May God punish those involved. You know, absolute judgment will come for everything. Nothing's going to escape. Everything will receive judgment. But right now, this is not a time of judgment. This is a time of grace, time of a dispensation of grace. And so certainly the enemy is working through the government and through evil men and women, and they got their day coming. I guarantee it. Read the Bible. Their day is coming. Judgment is coming if they will not repent. But God's will is that they repent. You know, one great example of that is Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh hardened his heart toward God. The Bible says that God hardened his heart. And that's true. It's what the Bible says. But we have to understand what that means. There's two kinds of ground. Did I talk about this recently, Gary? Talk about clay and good ground, clay and soil?
No, not recently, no.
So if you have clay and you put seed in that clay and then the sun comes out and bakes that clay, is it going to produce a crop?
No.
No, because the ground is hard. But if you take soil and you put the seed into the soil and the sun comes out, what's going to happen to that seed?
It'll sprout and germinate.
It'll sprout.
And, yeah.
That's right. It'll begin to grow. Is the problem with the seed, the word of God, God, or is the problem with the ground?
Ground.
The ground. And so Pharaoh chose to have a hard heart toward God. And when God began to minister to him, because God wanted to bless Pharaoh, God wanted to use Pharaoh, but he hardened his heart. And we have many other examples of that. Another example is the stubborn prophet Balaam. Balaam was another example. God even did use him, but he had an evil heart. And his works were evil. Esau was another one. The Bible says that Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Well, why did God hate Esau? And the Bible tells us it's because Esau traded his birthright for a bowl of porridge, for a bowl of soup. He preferred to take care of his physical flesh for one bowl of venison stew versus his birthright, which would have been a legacy really for eternity, but he chose to feed his flesh. So the reason why God hated Esau is because Esau hated God, and that he chose his flesh over choosing the things of God. Jacob was born a supplanter, a trickster. He was a conniver, and he spent time seeking God, had an encounter with the angel of the Lord and said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I'm not letting you go until you empower me. And he held on to the angel, and the angel finally said, you got to let me go. The sun's coming up. He said, I'm not letting you go. And the angel touched him in the thigh. And Jacob became a changed man. He was changed. And the angel of the Lord, which I believe was Jesus, the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, no longer is your name trickster, supplanter, Jacob. Your name is now Israel. for a prince of God have I made you. And God changed him. And, you know, I could say the same thing. I'm not the same person I was when I came to Christ 28 years ago. God changed me. He came into my life and he changed me. He took out that old man and put in a new man. And I became a new creature in Christ. Praise God. And that's the power of God. The greatest miracle that ever happens in someone's life is not a limb growing back or even being raised from the dead. The greatest miracle is when a man or woman is born again. We had an amazing altar call at church today. The anointing of God was so strong. We sang that song today, Gary, The Blessing. I don't know if you've heard that song.
Yes.
It's written by Carrie Job. And it's from Deuteronomy, or I should know this. It's the blessing that God, it's called the priestly blessing that God gave Moses to speak over the people. And it says, may the Lord, I'm going to mess it up. Let me pull it up real quick. May the Lord shine upon you. Oh man, I could have said it 10 minutes ago and now I'm drawing a blank. Make his face shine upon you. Okay, here we go. It is Numbers 6:25, verse 22. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise, you, talking about to the priest now, Aaron is the high priest, and all of his sons were priests. You shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, you shall bless them. Barak is the Hebrew word. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Hallelujah. And God blessed his people, not because they deserved it, not because they earned it, but because God is gracious, he is benevolent, he is good, praise God, and he wants his people blessed. And so we sang this song today written by Carrie Job, and it says that, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. And then the words go on, they're so powerful, about how upon your children and your children's children, and may his presence go before you. It's just so powerful. And I'm telling you, our church, we had several thousand people there for our 10:30 service, 11 o'clock service this morning, and the anointing was tangible, so thick. I was just weeping in the presence of God, so powerful. God is so good. Praise God. If you don't have a good church, saints, you need to find a church, because you're never going to experience the power and anointing that God wants you to experience outside of the corporate anointing. And that's when all the body of believers come together. So if you don't have a church, please pray about it. Now, we have online church, wordoffaith.cc, wordoffaith.cc. But even Bishop Butler says you need to find a church. You need a local body of believers. If you don't have one, start online. Start somewhere. But don't think that that's the end all. You got to keep on moving forward. Praise God. I call you blessed, Walt. In Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Florence. Florence says, during a sermon, a pastor announced, if you know your wife is controlling you, move to the left. All the men in the church moved to the left except one man. The pastor was happy there was at least one strong man and asked him, how come your wife can't control you? The man quietly replied, it's my wife who told me not to move. Praise God. That's cute. Call you blessed tonight, Florence, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight says, loving your radio show again, Pastor, my Savior. I'm not a Christian because I am strong and have it all together. I am a Christian because I am weak and admit I need a Savior. That's so powerful. It really is. I wish, especially those that got it all together, would realize that, because the end of all things is coming. The end of your life is coming. The time when you cannot make any more decisions is coming. Man is appointed once unto death, and then the judgment. Once this life is over, it's over, man. This is the time to live for Jesus. And if you don't know him, and if you don't know he's real, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That was my prayer 28, 29 years ago, was, God, if you're real, let me know. And he came into my life, and he'll be faithful to do the same thing to you or anyone who calls upon him. Why? Because God is faithful. Praise God. This year will be 30 years I've been a Christian. November will be 30 years. What a privilege to know the Lord. Praise God. I call you blessed, Henry, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Howard. Howard says, loving the show tonight, Pastor, learning so much. Amen. Well, let's continue to learn on that note. And let's go back. Oops, wrong button there. Let's go back to Galatians. Go to Galatians. I don't think we've actually been there yet. Galatians, the third chapter. And I want to read verse 13, Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us. Now, the word redeemed means to buy back. It means to purchase. So Christ has purchased us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, or hangs on the cross, referring to Jesus. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the blessing of Abraham ultimately is eternal life. And that blessing comes on us only through Jesus Christ and through faith. If you have your Bibles open, in verse 14, underline those two phrases. One is through Jesus Christ, and the next one, the end of verse 14, through faith. So notice the blessing comes through Jesus and through faith. So just saying, God bless me, is not enough. God wants to bless you, but the only way that he can bless you is through Jesus and through faith. And so in order to receive the blessing, you have to receive it through faith. And remember, there's five elements of faith. Faith comes by hearing, receiving, believing, speaking, and acting. And so you have to do those things in order to receive. You say, I thought it was a gift. Why do I have to do something? You're not doing something for the grace. You're not doing something for the blessing. You're doing something to receive the blessing. You have to receive it. Just like this radio show tonight. This radio show is free. But what did they have to do tonight, Gary, in order to listen to this radio show?
Oh, they have to log in.
They got to log in. If you don't log in, you ain't going to hear it. And it's the same thing with the blessing. If you don't log in by faith, you ain't going to receive it. So you got to log in. And that's where a lot of people miss it, is they think, well, it should be automatic. No, that ain't how it works. That's not how anything works. Everything works by, the Bible says in Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest. And without those elements, you're not going to receive anything. Well, what does it take to sow seed? You got to get the seed. Then you got to plant the seed. Then you got to water the seed. Then you got to, when it grows up, you got to protect it from weeds. And then when it comes to fruition, when the fruit is bearing on it, you then put the sickle in and you receive it. Praise God. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to know how it grows. You just got to know what to do in order to grow that harvest. And remember, the ground is not talking about a physical planting, you know, soil. It's talking about the ground of your heart. Your heart is the ground. That's where the word of God is sown, is in your heart. Praise God. And, you know, Bishop's got this great new t-shirt and sweatshirt called I Am Good Ground. And the way that you're good ground is by walking by faith. Praise the Lord. Now, I wrote this note just before the show started tonight, and there's two major things that keep us from receiving the blessing. Two major things. I've already talked about the first one, which is fear. Remember, fear is faith perverted. Fear is faith perverted. So faith is, it comes by hearing, receiving, believing, speaking, and acting. And then at the same time, fear works the same way. Fear works by hearing, receiving, believing, acting, and speaking. And speaking and acting, rather. I'm sorry, I'm multitasking. And that's how fear works. But then there's another major thief that keeps people from receiving the blessing. And this is the one that the Lord was really talking to me about earlier tonight. And that is condemnation. Condemnation is feeling guilty. Condemnation is the feeling that I don't deserve it, that I deserve judgment, that I deserve penalty. Go with me for a moment to Romans, the 8th chapter and the first verse, Romans 8. Come on, saints, turn to your Bible. If you don't have a Bible yet, get a Bible, download it for free, Bible.com. Make sure you're putting your eyes on the Word of God. Take the time to honor God by looking at the Word of God and putting it in your eyes. The Bible tells us in several places. One of them is in Proverbs chapter 3, I believe. He says, my son, attend to my words. Get busy, in other words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and medicine to all their flesh. But you got to find it by opening up your eyes and looking in. Psalms 119 talks about opening up your eyes and showing me the glorious things that are in the Word of God. Praise God. Now, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, if you're not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit, how are you walking, Gary? You're walking by what?
Sight.
No. If you're not walking after the flesh, which is sight.
Oh, right. Okay.
If you're not walking after sight, but you're walking after the Spirit, what do we call that? Walking by what?
By faith.
By faith. You got it 100%. You go, boy.
Yeah.
So walking by faith is how we stay free from condemnation, because sometimes people quote and they say there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. That's not accurate. It's not accurate to say there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. That's not accurate, because the scripture says here, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who? I'm not an owl. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you have to make sure you identify not just being in Christ, but also walking by faith. That's how we stay free from condemnation. Now, the word condemnation is the Greek word katakrima. Krima, also from the word krisis, which means judgment or verdict. When you put it together, katakrima, it's talking about a condemnatory sentence. In other words, I'm guilty because of what I have done. And when you walk around identifying with the old man in Christ, the man who died before you came to Christ, the man who was a sinner, a murderer, a thief, a liar, a fornicator, adulterer, all these sins of the flesh that you operated in those, and now you're in Christ. You say, well, Pastor, since I've been in Christ, I committed adultery. Since I've been in Christ, I've lied. Well, we all have messed up. I'm not saying we've all done those things, but we've all messed up. There is nothing too big or too bad that the blood of Jesus will not cleanse you from. And so the problem is not that you messed up. The problem is that you didn't get back up. Proverbs says, a just man falls seven times, but he gets back up. If you stay down, you're not walking by faith. And that's why you've got guilt and you've got condemnation. And if you're walking in guilt and condemnation, it's going to keep you from receiving the blessing. God's desire, God's will is that you be blessed. We find in 1 John chapter 3, 3 John, rather, verse 3 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. So part of the blessing is prosperity and health. God wants you to walk in these things, yet he can't make you receive from him. It's his will. It's his desire. You know, how many times, Gary, have you heard people say, well, if it's God's will, then it'll happen?
A lot of times I've heard that.
Is that true?
No.
Now, before this radio show, what would you have said?
Yes.
Exactly. But see, we break it down. And we go to the Word of God, which is what we're supposed to do. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, if there's a right way to divide the word of truth, then there is a wrong way to divide the word of truth. And so we must rightly divide. I misspoke. It's 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved. Why? So that we can understand. That's why y'all tune in to Spirit of Faith Radio every Sunday night at 8:30 p.m. so you can receive from the Word of God, so that you can understand the Word of God. Ephesians 4:11 says that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity or the oneness of the faith under the stature of a perfect man in Christ. What's a perfect man? A perfect man is not one that doesn't have flaws. A perfect man is not one that someone that doesn't fall and make mistakes. A perfect man is someone who is developed, who grows up in the Word of God, who knows how to rightly apply the Word of God, someone who is an overcomer, someone who is more than a conqueror, someone who knows who they are in Christ. That is a fully developed man that God has called every single one of us to be, whether you're male or female. Man, there is mankind. And God has given us pastors. Why? To feed us. Every sheep needs a shepherd. Every believer needs a pastor. Jeremiah 3:15 says that God says, I have given you pastors after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. A pastor's number one job is to feed. My pastor, Bishop Butler, has taught for decades that that means to teach the Word of God, that there should be 90-some percent teaching in a church. Why? Because the sheep must learn. The sheep have to be taught. The sheep need to know the Word of God. Why? Because the snake is coming. The devil is coming to steal and to kill and to destroy. What is he coming to take out of you? He's coming to take the word that was sown. Mark chapter 4, he comes immediately to steal the word that was sown in your heart, to keep you from receiving and walking in the blessing. Praise God. Let's do a quick identification moment. You are listening to spiritoffaithradio.com. Go to our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. You can go there and get all of our past archives and listen to our messages from the past, which will be a great blessing to you. Spiritoffaithradio.com. You can also sow into this ministry and give by going to spiritoffaithradio.com. Praise God. Amen. Let's go to another email tonight, which is from our friend Monica. Monica says, Pastor, is it ever too late to know Jesus? That's a great question, Monica. And I kind of answered it a little while ago, and we find it in Hebrews. And let's go over to Hebrews and let's look in chapter. Let's see. Oh, it is appointed. Hebrews. Oh, goodness. Praise God. I'm trying to pull it up here and I'm putting in the wrong words. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I will find it. I promise you. Here it is. Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, the word judgment here is the Greek word krisis. Krisis means condemnation or guilty verdict. Now, this is not for Christians. The Lord showed me this years ago. This verse is not for Christians. This verse is for those that don't know Christ. And he here refers to those that don't know Christ as men. See, in Christ, he doesn't look at us as men anymore. He looks at us as sons of God, and sons are male and female. So when you're in Christ, you're a son of God. You're no longer seen by God as a mere man. You can find more of that also in 1 Corinthians 2 and chapter 3. He doesn't look at us as mere men. He looks at us as his children, sons of God, Romans chapter 8. We are now children of God. So it's appointed unto men once to die and after this the judgment. If you don't know Christ in this lifetime, then condemnation, judgment, eternal separation from God is coming, which is called the second death, which is the lake of fire. You don't want to go there. I'm telling you, there's no coming back. There is no purgatory. There's no, I'm now in eternity and I want to change my mind. There is no changing your mind. There is no purgatory. There is no repentance after death. Repentance is only available in this lifetime. And once again, I said it a few times earlier, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you have to call upon the name of the Lord. You have to make that choice to receive Christ into your heart. That's a personal decision that every single person has to make. And if they don't make it, then they're eternally doomed. So I hope that answers your question tonight. I think that was pretty thorough. Thank you for that, by the way. A lot of people needed to hear that. Call you blessed, Monica, and happy new year in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Sue. Sue says, hello, Pastor John. Faith does not mean trusting God to stop the storm. It means trusting him to strengthen us as we walk through the storm. Well, I would say that it means both. When Jesus in Mark chapter 4 was asleep in the boat and they woke him up because of the storm, they woke him up to do what, Gary?
To save them.
To save them. And what did Jesus do? Did he stop the storm or did he just take them through it?
He did. He put his hands up and calm the winds. He stopped
100%.
The storm.
100%. He stopped it. Yeah, that's right. So remember this. Faith can stop the storm. Faith will get you through the storm. And at the end of the day, the bottom line is that we win. Praise. Now, remember, Sue, I'm not giving you my opinion. I'll never give you. If I do give you my opinion and I'm wrong, please correct me. Please, somebody email me, write me in, tell Gary to slap me. Let's make sure that we are standing. I'm serious, that we are standing on the word of God, period. Opinions are like butts. Everybody's got one.
Yeah.
And one pastor said, all y'all bring your butts down to the altar and repent. Yeah. We need to get rid of all of our opinions. Your opinions mean jack. Forget about your, well, I have a right to my opinion. Says who? Who says you have a right to your opinion? What scripture tells us you have a right to your opinion? I'm entitled, Pastor. That's just pride. What scripture says you have a right to your opinion? You don't. If Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, then you put that on the altar. It's no longer about your opinion. If any man speak, Peter says, let him speak as the oracle of God, not your opinion. Your opinion is hogwash. And it amounts to nothing, produces no faith, produces no power, produces no victory. It's just pride. Get rid of your opinion. Jesus didn't come to give his opinion. He said, I only say what the Father says. I only do what the Father does. And Jesus Christ is God. And he said, I don't do my own thing. I don't do what I want to do. I came here to do the will of God. And now as children of God, as sons of God, that should be our opinion. I'm here to do God's opinion. I'm here to do God's will, God's pleasure, God's desire, not mine. Mine means nothing but kiss. Praise God. Amen. Call you blessed, Sue. Thanks for getting me stirred up tonight. In Jesus' name. She says, I don't know if I'm going to send him another email. No, please do. I really appreciate it. Praise God. I know others do as well. Don writes us tonight, says, Pastor, what does faith and grace actually mean in regards to God's word? Well, it's a great question. We've been talking about it all night. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's answer it from Ephesians 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. This is another scripture to memorize. Great one. I'm not even looking at it. I'm just going to quote it. Ephesians 2, 8 says, that we are saved by grace through faith. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. So grace is the gift of God, but the gift has to be received. So Gary, you know, at Christmas time, when the parents put Christmas gifts underneath the tree, they're for the kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do they automatically belong to the kid?
Automatically?
Yeah, I mean, is it automatically the kid's gift?
Well, you would think it is, but
How does the kid receive it?
Through wrapping a present.
They got to unwrap it.
They got to unwrap it, yeah.
And that's all we have to do. That's what faith is. Faith is unwrapping the gift. Faith is opening up the gift. It's a gift. The grace of God is a gift. Every promise of God is a gift. It's benevolence. And it's his grace. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's the grace of God. But in order to receive that grace, you have to unwrap it. How do you unwrap it? We are saved by grace through faith. Faith is the unwrapping. Faith is the conduit to which we receive the grace. So we find in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God allows us to unwrap the grace of God. The word of God tells us the promises of God. And this word, yes, you read it, you find out God's will, but then the Holy Spirit breathes life onto that word. And that word is the Greek word rhema. Rhema means spoken word. And when that word is spoken to your heart, the light bulb goes on, you see it. And now once you see it, now you have, that's hearing. Now you have to receive it. Then you've got to believe it. Then you've got to speak it. Then you've got to act on it. And when you do that, you have now received the grace of God. Can I be any more plain, Gary, or is that pretty plain?
That's pretty plain.
Bless the Lord. Don, I call you blessed, my brother, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight. Wow, we got 3 minutes left. Bless God. Carl writes us and says, hello, Pastor Jay. Love you, folks. Thanks, Carl. We love you more than you even know. Praise God. It's a privilege to be with you every Sunday night. I call you blessed. Hey, remember, everybody, when you write me, let me know where you're writing from. I'd love to give a shout out to your area. I know I don't say that enough, but when you write me, let me know where you're writing from. And I haven't said this in a while either, Gary, I always love to hear from first timers. So if you're a first time listener, and we have between 50 and 150 new people every week, we're way over 10,000 a week now, which is such a blessing. And, we're not going back. We haven't gone back once, Gary. Have you noticed that?
I did notice that, yes.
I know you have a lot of numbers to deal
with.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah,
we haven't dropped back one time. And that's just the goodness and the grace of God. Do you remember me saying I'm believing God for 10,000 listeners?
I do, several times.
And we had like 400 people, 500 people. And now we're over 10 grand. Praise God. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. I love you all so much. Carl, call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Edward. Edward says, hey, Pastor, where did the apostles and Jesus get their money while traveling through the land? There was a keeper of the purse. So money came from donations. And we know there were a lot of rich Jewish women that gave, people that got healed and delivered, they gave. I'm sure some people sold their stuff and gave it. And they received it from collections and from offerings. And then one place we know, when it was time for Peter to pay his taxes, and he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, how am I going to pay these taxes? What did Jesus tell him? You remember? He said, give unto God what is his, and give unto Caesar.
Sir, what is his, yeah.
What is Caesar's? And then he told him to go and do what? Go down to the lake.
I don't remember.
Throw in your line, and the first fish that you pull back in its mouth will be a gold coin.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, pay my taxes and your taxes. So he paid his taxes with a gold coin. And then, of course, Judas was the keeper of the purse, and it was the love of money that corrupted him, and he betrayed Jesus, and then the condemnation caused him to commit suicide. Praise God. And he is in hell to this very hour. Judas is in hell. Praise God. All right. Call you blessed, Edward, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Eric. Eric says, today, I just want to thank God for the gift of life. No requests, no complaints, just thankful to be alive. I'm with you, brother. That's a good Thanksgiving prayer. Praise God. Call you blessed, Eric, in Jesus' name. Last email of the night is from our friend Henry. Henry says, hey, Spirit of Faith, faith. Amen. F-A-I-T-H, faith. Call you blessed, Henry, in Jesus' name. It's been a privilege to be with you all tonight. Email me anytime by going to our website, spiritoffaithradio.com, spiritoffaithradio.com. And I pray you all have a blessed week. Check out that book by going to wordoffaith.cc/e-store, wordoffaith.cc/e-store. If you're an international listener, go to kbm.org. K as in kilo, B as in Bravo, M as in Mary, .org internationally. And you can get information. We also have books in 16 different languages. Praise God. So check us out there. And until next week, I want to remind you that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.